Okay.
Blog Talk
Radio. Hey, Tony. We have made it. It is July the 7th. I sure hope it is. Otherwise, we had switched time streams again. And this is Dr. John Stamey from beautiful, cloudy Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it is warm, beautiful, people are excited, and we're all just getting coronavirus. So, I mean, you can't say any more than that. It's the most amazing place in the world. But glad to have everybody here. Thanks especially to VOC Nation, with whom we will be rebroadcasting this on Friday night at 11 p.m., and it will be over at midnight, at which time Papa Stro will be commencing the Stro Zone for this week, and I'm sure it's going to be a blast. So anyway, we're going to ask Papa Stro to tell us about the Stro Zone here in a second, and I've got something else to congratulate him on. Golly, Papa Stro, you're just having a bang-up week here. We're so glad to have you. In fact, since I'm talking to you.
So far, yeah, thank you.
Say hello. Say hello.
Hi,
say
everyone.
Hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Great to be here.
Hello.
Hi.
Great to be
yep,
here.
We're glad you're here. We're glad everybody's here. This is the crew. And I almost got the Surgeon General of Murder 123, but he said he would like to come on next weekend or the weekend after he had just gotten in from visiting his daughters, and he was visibly tired, but always entertaining. So anyway, glad to have you, Papa Stro, with us. And I'm just going to go down the line in order. The queen of Scarycast and Murder 123, the one and only Robin McCrae. How you doing, dear?
I am good. How are you guys today?
Great, Robin. How about you?
I'm doing
Luggan,
good.
I'll tell you.
Robin.
Hey, babe. How are you?
Great.
We're glad you're here. And next in line, our man in Hollywood. And that is somebody
hey,
who wants me, and they can't get me.
Devin.
Hey, Devin, it's good to have you here with us. And how's everything in beautiful, sunny Hollywood? Or is it sunny today?
Thank you. Well, it's a really pretty nice day. Unfortunately, though, we are seeing our highest numbers of COVID cases and 46 new deaths. So, unfortunately, we are locking back down again, and it's just really frustrating. And one of my best friend's roommate just tested positive, so hitting really close to
home.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine, but it's just you know, it's younger people, they're going to be fine. They're going to spread it more rapidly. So that's the thing I'm worried about.
Well, speaking of COVID, I see interesting things where governors are demanding that colleges and schools get back to class. Some have already announced they are. Some have said they will not. It will be all online. I think it's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks, we see what happens. And that's one reason I want to get our Surgeon General from Murder 123, Dr. Trey Donaway. He has really kept up with what's going on in COVID, and I think we need to have him here, not next week, but the week after. I think it would be interesting for him to talk about it. They just found out that type O and type O negative seem to have less of a chance of death from COVID. I mean, I don't know what that means, but that's the latest result, and I hope other blood types can get it too, because it's a shame. It's terrible. Anyway, from the murder capital of the world, Harlan, Kentucky, and the former home of Manzo Shepherd, the one and only Tony Pelosi. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing great, John. How's everybody else doing?
How y'all doing?
Hey, Tony. we're
sorry. I'm being too terrible. Anyway, we're always. Yeah, and Tony, I'm always glad to get to talk to all of you through the week and all this. So we're just glad everyone's here. Now, I do have one more congratulations, because yesterday, and I did not prepare for it, was an international holiday. And a big day of celebration, because we celebrated the birthday of the man who leads off my Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. And that is none other than a member of Papa Stroh's family, his great uncle or granduncle, I don't know what you call it, the one and only George Wagner, better known as Gorgeous George, truly one of the landmark performers, wrestlers, and a man that really influenced Muhammad Ali and taught him, and from his actions in the ring and in the public, Muhammad Ali gained inspiration. So, Papa Stroh, first of all, congratulations on your family having the International Gorgeous George Day. Do you mind spending a minute and just sharing with everybody the grandeur of, in, as I said, the man that leads off my Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling, Gorgeous George? Do you mind sharing a moment about him, please?
Yeah, my great-granduncle, Gorgeous George, I mean, he was a pioneer. It's because of him that pro wrestling landed on the television map, more or less. And not only that, I mean, he was the first one to cross over from pro wrestling to Hollywood and to the sports world as well, and many other realms as well. I mean, you mentioned Muhammad Ali, James Brown, among many, many others were influenced by Gorgeous George, as well as, you know, many future wrestlers years ahead. You know, I could go on, like Ric Flair, even before Ric Flair, Buddy Rogers, and just the list goes on. I can go on and on. So, but his influence was is pretty massive, and even to this day, and like later in my life, meeting, you mentioned Muhammad Ali and James Brown and seeing them tell stories about my great-granduncle and how they influenced him. It's a real treat, for sure. And to have a day after him was tremendous. And Cauliflower Alley Club, I got to give them hats off to them. Great organization. They did a tremendous job promoting and everything. And, it's a big honor. It really is.
Well, it was great to see that. I'm going to share those variety posts. There were 10 or 12 or 14 of them. I'm going to share those on ScaryCast and tonight, and let everybody else enjoy it. I think they will. I will say this: it is my understanding that Gorgeous George invented the endeavor of professional wrestling. He invented the idea of the heel or the bad guy. He also invented the idea of the storyline. He invented the idea of having a valet, which was his lovely wife. And in 1954 and in 1955, he was the highest paid entertainer in the world. And that says a lot. I mean, I don't know anybody, Rob Maestro, that can compared to that in the entertainment world. So we're just fortunate to have one of his very fine family members here, and it's always
and
great
movies
to get
about
to
him too, Alias the Champ, you know what I mean, and quite a few others were done about
Noah
him.
Beery. Yeah, Noah Beery mm-hmm. starred in that. I mean, what a great star he was. And we need to, I tell you
right.
what, Papa Stroh, you and I will get, when we get together for lunch, I guess it'll be next week because I got to go buy a car on Thursday. Next week when I get up
okay.
there to Emerald Isle, let's put together some lists of his accomplishments and try to at least honor him on the ScaryCast website. Would that be okay?
That'd be amazing. Thank you.
We'll do that. So, look, thanks a lot, and congratulations to you and your family, and congratulations to everybody and their families because they produced – some of the most wonderful co-hosts anybody could possibly have. Just renaming them. Congratulations to the parents of Robin McRae. Congratulations to the parents of Devin Tate. And congratulations to the parents of Tony Filosi. And my parents were pretty cool, too. I don't know if I count in the cool list, but my parents were really wonderful, too. So, anyways, just glad to have such a bunch of superstars here on ScaryCast presenting Murder 123 this week. So, we're trying to alternate ScaryCast and Murder 123, but this past Thursday, a bombshell was dropped in the news world. We all remember Jeffrey Epstein, and I think every one of us was on the Jeffrey Epstein episode of Murder 123 I don't know, about, what, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
And then this past Thursday, Zane Maxwell, his lady in red, his procurer of younger women, ages 14 through 16, was arrested by the FBI. She had been kind of on the lam in Paris. She kind of snuck in over here, and they flat out arrested her on 6 major federal charges of trafficking young children, young women, through the system of Jeffrey Epstein. And I'm going to go ahead and be honest here. There are numerous charges about her engaging with sex with those young girls and Jeffrey Epstein. Now, who is this woman? I'll tell you, her father was Robert Maxwell. He was a media giant in England, and he started the Mirror and just made a fortune. But apparently by the time he died, a lot of that fortune was smoke and mirrors. He had taken a lot of money from the pension plan from the bank account of his employees, which was, as you know, it's a crime. It's terrible. Now, we remember, going back to Jeffrey Epstein, he was caught, or he was arrested, for the major child porn charges and trafficking that he had done. And while he was in jail at the New York Federal Prison, one morning early, the two guards that were supposed to have been watching him happened to be AWOL. They were busy napping or whatever they were doing, and his cellmate had been removed. So he was there by himself, and about 6:30 a.m. or so, he was found, and it appeared as though Jeffrey Epstein had committed suicide. Now, this was quite the good fortune to a number of famous people and politicians who were claimed to have visited Jeffrey Epstein's sex island and his very, very dubious and really a bad news place, his big apartment in Manhattan, where he had major parties and supposedly had orgies. And the one thing that could have absolutely sunk him and a lot of people in the public eye would have been had he started testifying as to who all was there and who all was getting with the young girls. Now, it's interesting that one of the personalities involved was Prince Andrew. And one of those young girls said, well, he was sweating profusely the entire time. Well, Prince Andrew indicates that due to the stress of the Falkland Islands war, he had a condition where he did not sweat regardless. She said he was sweating profusely. The prince says he cannot sweat at all. Golly, it sounds like a darn Cinderella fairy tale gone bad. So anyway, and another thing that I checked on before the show, the FBI and the CIA apparently want Prince Andrew to come over from England and tell them a lot of things. And people are saying, oh, well, he's got diplomatic immunity. Well, no, he does not. According to several scholars at UCLA Law School, Prince Andrew has no diplomatic immunity, and he can be picked up and arrested at any time by the legal figures in the United States. The only person over there that has legal immunity is his mother, the Queen of England. So, and they're saying, oh, we'd love for you to come over and talk to us. I'm absolutely sure they would love for him to come over, because it might be pretty hard for him to get back out of here, I think. Now, I may be wrong, and if anybody disagrees with me, let me know, but it seems like if he wanted to talk to the FBI, he would get on a secure phone line over there from the comfort of Buckingham Palace and just say whatever he wants. And I think that might be smarter on his behalf. But if he did wrong, we want to get him. But, you know, if he didn't, well, you know, he'd be better off talking to the Fed, our feds, from Buckingham Palace. Now, so Ms. Maxwell was picked up this past Thursday. And they have taken her down to the New York Bureau of Prisons, where she's staying in the same jail cell block as her former lover, best friend, confidant, Jeffrey Epstein. So that's where she's going to be. Now, the feds call her a walking little black book. She knew everything. So now comes the scary cast / murder 123 mystery of the evening. All right. So I'm going to start posing these questions, and I'm going to start asking our esteemed panel what they think about it. First of all, Epstein goes to the New York Bureau of Prisons. Where does he end up? Well, certainly not in the New York Bureau of Prisons. There are some people, and myself included, I was the first one to guess this one, is that he was taken out of that jail cell while the guards were asleep. And, you know, who knows where he is, because he was a little too hot to live, I think. He knew too much about too many politicians and too many famous people, things that he did not need to be telling, but they were going to get him to tell because it was going to kind of save his neck. He had a lot on his plate, and he was going to be in so much trouble. I mean, somebody predicted he would have over 100 years of time in jail, so he might have been ready to sing like a bird. Well, it came out yesterday morning that Ms. Maxwell has reportedly said she will sing like a bird, too, to try to minimize her sentence. But now, here's the question. After she does her testimony, her sworn testimony and deposition, is she going to apparently commit suicide? Is there going to be a body double that shows up and she is whisked off in a plane to go see her boyfriend Jeffrey Epstein so they can live long and prosper on some paradise island? What is going to happen? What do you guys think? I'm going to start with Robin McRae, who is our resident intuitive. Robin, what the heck do you think about Jeffrey and Ms. Maxwell? What do you think happened, and what ideas do you have about what's going to happen?
Well, I don't believe for one second he killed himself to begin with. He was absolutely terrified. Like, even to try to connect with his spirit, he was scared shitless when he was in jail. And there's too many things that went on that day that he supposedly committed suicide that indicate that this was not a random thing that he did. There were other things that were involved as well. And if everybody else was involved in it, he was taken out. Nobody wanted him to come forward. I don't care what part of not just Hollywood, but the government, other countries. You've got, you know, Prince Andrew's toe in it. And that doesn't mean that I think Prince Andrew actually did something. Do I think he knew all about it? Absolutely. I think you get in these powerful positions and you get all these money people and powerful people together, and they tend to turn a blind eye. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Andrew did or didn't do anything, but I do think he had full knowledge of a lot that was going on. Whether he liked it or not doesn't even matter. He knew about it and he didn't say anything. And so you've got all these highly powerful people, and it could have been somebody took him out that wasn't even one of those powerful people. I mean, you're talking about the cabal and everything else. They're all involved in a lot of this stuff. They don't want anything coming out. Somebody that was aware of it, that was involved, had knowledge of it, didn't want him to say boo to anything. And he knew it. He knew it when he went into jail. He knew that was his death sentence. And that's exactly what happened to him. And as far as, you know, this woman, she is right. This is the thing with her. Like, I think she was sexually abused as a young girl, and I think she's always had issues, and she got caught up with him, and then the money started flowing, and she's another one, turned a blind eye, helped him, did all these horrible things. She knows every single thing that ever went on. And I don't, her life expectancy is probably that of a gnat at this point, because if she doesn't sing, she's locked up, and they're going to take her out anyway. Because if she, even if she doesn't say a thing and she gets locked up, I don't care if she's in there for 50 to 100 years, these powers that be that were involved in that are never, ever going to rest while she's alive. So even if she swears she's not going to tell anybody, they're going to get rid of her butt just like they did Epstein, because there's always that chance that she could say something and it'll be like a house of cards going down. Now, I think she has it in her head that she's going to be safe if she talks. She's not safe if she talks or if she doesn't talk. It's going to turn out the same way. And I think even if they were to put her in a witness protection program or put a body double or whatever, they're going to find her. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but she's got a walking X on her back, which is really sad. But the sadder part is that she kept her mouth shut and she participated in this. She's as guilty as he is. You know, she's willing to go into this thinking she's going to save herself and talk, but I think it's a false security, and I think it's wishful thinking on her part. I think she thinks that's the only thing she can do to try to get any protection, because she already knows that they took him out, and I think she knows who did. I think she absolutely knows what parties did, but and she's scared shitless right now, and I think she thinks the only thing she can do is talk to try to get some type of security, but security didn't help Epstein. And I don't think it's going to help her. I mean, I'm not going to say the time frame that they're going to get to her. They will at some point.
Well, do you get the vibe that Epstein is still alive? I do.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not. I know he was absolutely terrified in there. It's very possible that somebody staged it to look like he killed himself and got him out of there. If they did, it certainly isn't any of the good guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, drugging those two guards who went to sleep, that was an easy task.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
But
well, thank you very much.
I mean,
appreciate that.
I think it's very possible that they did it. I certainly, it would not be out of the realm of possibility for that to happen. Because you're talking
about
powerful people that are so far beyond powerful. They could make anything happen.
Mm-hmm, I agree. All right. Well, now our next person to be questioned is Tony Filosi about logistics of all this. And then we're going to ask Papa Stro and Devin, because they are so involved in the pop culture world. I want to ask them after we talk with Tony, well, what the heck is going on? How do people perceive this? What do you think? Because your thoughts matter. They really do matter. Basically, because you're both entertainers and you're both out in the public eye. So, and then we're going to have our roundtable discussion. So, and again, we want to do two things. Number one, we are going for 1 hour tonight because, and I'll tell everybody why, I'm going to do a plug for VSC Nation. VSC Nation, Brady Hicks, the Brady Hicks. Tomorrow night, Papa, or later tonight, Papa Stro, at 9 p.m. Eastern, what you got going on?
In the Room podcast, it's open forum night. Brady Hicks, Kathy Fitzpatrick, Matt Grimm, myself, and Derek McDonald taking callers from all over discussing various topics. Should be a lot of fun. So join us.
Well, that is great. And the yeah, VSC Nation, thanks for carrying both Pop Culture Stars and carrying the one and only Scary Cast / Murder 123. I will say that, and we're going to do two plugs because I think it's cool. On Friday night, as we wrap up at 12 o'clock midnight, Papa Stro, you're back on the hot seat. What goes on at midnight on, actually off of your Facebook page? What goes on?
The return of Papa Stro, the Stro Zone, on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. At midnight Eastern Standard Time this Friday night. And Friday night's feature will be The Last Woman on Earth. So be sure to tune in.
I think Ms. Maxwell might feel that way right now, Papa Stroh. That's a little bit
pretty
on the
much,
funny
yeah.
side. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Papa Stroh, I don't know if you've heard about this, but you know that we're all friends on WCW Retro. And there's a wrestling movie that our buddy Steve Logan sent to me to watch. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it is one of the most engaging wrestling films I've ever seen. It is called I Like to Hurt People. Do you know that movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very well.
Stars two of my favorite wrestlers, Andre the Giant, and, of course, from Syria, The Sheik. And so maybe we
yeah.
can talk about that sometime on one of our shows. I'd like to get
sure.
your perspective on it because you knew those guys. And it's a lot of
oh,
fun.
Yeah.
In fact, to be honest with you, that might not be such a bad scary cast because that match was pretty scary. Now, it really was. And, I mean, I don't
no,
know how
those
guys
are scary.
Do what?
Both those guys
As you
are
said,
scary. Andre and the Sheik, yeah, both of them pretty scary.
They really are, but everybody, how can you not love Andre? My favorite thing is you got to meet him. He shook your hand, and he said, "How do you do?" And thank you, Dusty Rhodes, for introducing Papa Stroh to Andre the Giant. It's too funny.
Oh,
but we'll see
oh yeah.
You talk about
love, that. Love him if he's your friend, but God knows if he's upset with you. Oh, look out. he might as well be the Bionic Bigfoot from $6 Million Man at that point.
Exactly. All right. So, anyway, all right, Tony, talk to us about
yes.
logistics in this mess. The Epstein thing, and then let's say nothing goes wrong with the Maxwell questioning, and she is plopped back in her cell and just sits there and stares at the wall. But it's not going to happen that way. So tell us how it could go down that harm or escape could happen. So the floor is yours, kind sir.
I think that she's being moved in place for them to do away with her. They're tying up loose ends, in my opinion, right now. If you wanted to protect someone, you wouldn't put them in the same place where the last guy was killed. You would take them and put them in protective
Good
custody.
Good point, Tony.
You know. Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, simple, but you wouldn't put them in the place. You know, I think they're positioning her to be murdered, and if she's not murdered during the trial, so I think she will be murdered at some point before she'll have a heart attack. Something will happen to her because if they don't, there's going to be too many people go down. And like I said, you know, if you really wanted to protect her. The only blip on the news would have been she's been picked up, she's in protective custody until the trial at an undisclosed location. Thank you very much. It wouldn't be all this media attention. It wouldn't be, well, we're putting her here, we're doing this, we're doing that. I think Epstein's dead. I think that they're tying up loose ends because if you send them off to a desert island or to an island to live out their lives together, you know, they're still loose ends, you know. This way it's permanent. So I think that Epstein's dead. I think that that she'll, you know, I don't think she'll make it through the process. And if she does make it through the process, she'll die. They'll kill her quickly in prison. The only reason they would let her make it through the process is to point the finger at who they want the finger pointed at, who they want to bring down. Who, you know, you have to
right.
dig a little deeper.
Well, now, okay, I'm gonna give you some rebuttal, and it's not negative rebuttal. It's just like, well, I think they're gonna get information out of her before anything happens, don't you?
I think they will, but it'll be on the people they want it on. I don't think they're going to say, "Hey, tell us what happened," and on Love Island, and just let it roll with it. I think they will be, but you know, I think they're going to be specific about who they're going to target. You know, why does the did you just buy a property in New Hampshire or someplace?
Yeah, that's where they captured her.
Okay. Somebody has, I mean, if you're on the run, you know, somebody has put her at ease after Epstein's death. Why do you drop a ton of money on a property in the United States with
exactly.
the FBI or some other law enforcement agency can walk up and knock on your door? So I think that it's that they plan this. They know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to get information on all the individuals they can. I don't think a lot of it will make it a lot, but I think it's a leverage thing. I mean, you have an information gold mine in this lady, of powerful people. If you're trying to get a piece of legislation through, if you're trying to get a trade deal through, or you want your buddy to get the contracts from that trade deal, you know, what better way to do it? I mean, it's power. Knowledge is power. So, I think she's going to end up the same way as Epstein, you know, dead. And the baloney about the two guards going to sleep—they didn't go to sleep. They were, you know, they were told to move on or play asleep or whatever the camera showed.
Or they were—they could have been drugged, Tony.
Yeah, they could have, but I think they were willing accomplices because if they were drugged, I think they would have said, "Hey, you know, we took a drink of water or." They brought us our food and, you know, 15 minutes after we ate for coffee, you know, we're asleep. You know, we don't know what happened. You know, instead, they would have came forward immediately if they weren't in on it. I mean, I would. I mean, if you brought me a cup of coffee and I drank it and I go to sleep and I don't wake up for 4 hours or 5 hours and this dude's dead in a cell, I'm going to my supervisor and I'm going to say, John brought me a cup of coffee. I don't know what was in that stuff, but I slept for 4 hours and I don't remember Jack. You know, so my opinion is it's been a thing from the beginning. You know, Epstein, when he got on Epstein, and I think they did the same thing with Epstein. I think they got a lot of information from Epstein. He's awaiting trial. He commits suicide. Well, he still has all this information. Somebody still has all this information, right?
Yep.
So why is none of that came forward? It's just a little bit about Prince Andrew. Now, what are we trying to, you have to ask yourself, what are we trying to solicit from the royal family? Or the British government? What do we need? I mean, this is a perfect pawn. You know? So that's my thoughts on it. I think that they gathered information on the very, very rich and powerful. And, you know, who did it? You know, we could get into shadow government. We could get into a whole lot of different things. But, you know, why did Epstein, after he, you know, that he's spilled his guts before he got killed? And I think that's why I think they mined all the information from him that they thought was pertinent, and they tied that loose end up before he went public, before he said that in a courtroom. And that's my opinion. I think they're just positioning this lady, you know, and if something comes out, it'll be on whom they want it to come out on. And then I think she'll die sooner or later.
Yeah, I don't see her making it too awful long. I mean, I don't know what timeline, but she's not going to make it. She's got the biggest X on her back, and it's already written out she's going to die.
Yes, yeah. She's an endangered species right now, for sure.
She is. But, you know, I think
true.
She has in the back of her head this fall. I don't think she's mentally stable to begin with, but I think in the back of her head she has this false sense of security because I think the powers that want her gone have been telling her, oh, don't worry, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine.
Right.
And
right.
she's got
right.
it in her head that she's going to say what they want her to say and she's going to be fine. And that's not going to happen.
No, she should have figured that out when they picked her up at her new multi-million-dollar home. You know,
but I think but I think they've told her, you know, the whole network that needs to be taken down. They've told her, we've got you covered. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. That's why she didn't go into hiding.
I mean,
and I
exactly.
think she's got this a false sense of security on it.
And you know, somebody with that kind of money, you know, if they didn't feel safe, if someone wasn't leading them like a sheep to the slaughter, so to speak, I mean, it I'd have went straight to the plastic surgeon. I would have said, you know, I want to look like Joe Bob from Podunk, West Virginia. Here's his photo, or here's her photo. And as soon as I got halfway healed up, I'd have hopped a plane with all my new, you know, information on my passport, on my identification, to a non-extradition free from the country, and I would, you know, have lived very low life.
Quietly?
Lifestyle. That's the word I'm looking for. I would live very quietly and long, a lot longer, you know. So somebody has assured her that her life was not in danger, but I would say that when they snatched her, she's saying, uh-oh, because why did it take that long? You know, when they had that amount of information on Epstein, they had her too at that point. I mean, they had both of them. And why did they wait this long before they got her? Who's the witness? There's a few witnesses, some of the girls saying, well, yeah, she was in on it too. But you know, they told her that, or told them that, whenever they picked Epstein up and interviewed him the first time. So they had enough information to get her whenever they got Epstein. I think they were just trying to mine more information from her and get what dirt they could on the super powerful.
Yeah.
Because that's who went to the house. I mean, it's like a who's who of government. And it's ready-made blackmail, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not about justice. It's not about justice. It's about tying
either
up
that either that or since Epstein has mysteriously vanished, whatever that means, they had to bring some closure to the public to just shut everybody up. And that's why I think she absolutely had to be, you know, whether she's going to be murdered soon or not, she had to be set up to have thought that she was going to be safe when they came and got her. I mean, why else?
Yeah.
Two things. Why else would she have come back from Paris? She could stay there all her life and why would she do that and come back? Now, number two, there's a very interesting thing that I read. It said that her net worth was 1.8 million pounds. So that's about $2.25 million. Now, folks, for somebody with all those connections and everything, she's got some money hidden away somewhere. Because $2 million is not enough for a wild and crazy chick like her.
And then all we need to do is a little bit of research on how much the property cost in New Hampshire and who financed that property and start looking at that.
They said she bought it for cash.
Well, then she had way more than $2 million, and I guarantee you that. That's how she's going to pay her light bill and her heat bill and maintenance and keep her lifestyle up. And I mean, you know, she wasn't working at Denny's or Waffle House.
Yeah. Because she's got somebody pulling strings, and they're the ones that are floating the money on it, that they're probably going to be what's tied into taking her out.
Absolutely. You come over here, we've got you a nice place. You know, live out your life and don't worry about it. Just keep your mouth shut. Just like what they told Epstein, you know, at the beginning, I would say. You know, you tell us what you keep your mouth shut and just tell us what we need to know, and everything's going to be good.
Yep.
I'm honestly surprised that Epstein just didn't do a complete vanishing act instead of being picked up. I'm just surprised that they didn't let him vanish. And I mean, they could, you know, milk him for whatever he's gotten, and just he could be killed, and nobody would ever know. I don't understand why they did this the way they did, but I guess it might have been that Ronan Farrow story where he more, you know, exposed Epstein, and he became too hot to trot, and just
right.
You know, whatever. But we'll never know. And so, we brought out some good points here.
Another thing, I mean, if he disappeared quietly, and or he drowned in a boating accident close to his island, you know, then everybody's just going to breathe a sigh of relief. But if he's out there publicly, and then you talk about sweating, all these powerful people got a lot of heartburn. You know, I guarantee you some of them won't stock in Tums by now.
Okay. Those are good points, all. I appreciate those. Now come our two gentlemen who have really a pulse on pop culture and everything. I'm gonna start with Papa Stro. Papa Stro, what do you think about this whole mess? And what do you think the public thinks? You know, you're the guy that's out there, and you know what people think. I'm giving you a lot of credit because you deserve it. So what do you think about this whole mess between Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell?
God, she's toast. Oh, my God. As soon as I saw that they announced that she was arrested
now
and everything. She's so done. I mean, it's like people don't realize the anchors, the news people, they're only telling you what they're being told to tell you, right?
Exactly.
It's not actual news anymore.
Propaganda.
And it's just like her, just imagine her walking the plank of a pirate ship. That's basically what she's doing right now. And just to think that she was there with him the whole time, Epstein was doing all these sick acts and everything. It's the whole thing's disgusting to know when, once you think it makes you sick to the pit of your soul. And how could she not know the same information he did when she was like right there in the middle of it, right? So it's like, what they're gonna do? They'll get her information, yada yada, and they'll promise her this and that and yada yada, just like Epstein. And then next thing you know, where is Miss Maxwell? Right? Hello.
She'll meet Mickey Finn, won't she?
Oh yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, as soon as they announced that she was arrested and everything, I was like, well, there you go. That's pretty much a done deal there.
Okay, I think I see your point, and I don't see a lot of fault
in your
logic.
Well, think about it. I mean, all the powerful people that these people knew, right? You think they're going to have their reputations diminished because of them? You think they're going to have their millions and billions invested in the world diminished because of them? No, of course not. You know, their reps are on the line. And these are pretty powerful people, people that you'd probably be surprised they're involved. And a lot of us are involved.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, so, you know, when they're next on the line, you know, they'll do whatever it takes to keep it intact, you know. So it just goes to show you, I mean, the whole situation is really sad to know there are people out there that would do these horrible acts. I can't even fathom to think about it. It's just horrible. But if she has the contacts that Epstein did and the powerful people that he knew, and some of them have already been exposed that he was hanging around with, right? I mean, the whole story's not really out who all he hung out with. I'm sure there's a lot more to the story than we know, right? But if she was right in the middle of it, it does not look good for her. She needs she needs a lot of prayer to get out of that situation. I assure you.
I'm gonna add another question to you, Papa Stro, and see how you answer this. Now, Ms. Maxwell also had friends and confidants. She did. We all don't have just one. And wouldn't there be others in her little network, whether they worked for her or were her friends.
Oh, yeah, because you know she likes to gossip.
That would have some.
You know she's a gossiper, so you know she's going to be telling the every Tom, Dick, and Harry she can talk to. I mean, come on. If you experienced the stuff that she did, how could you keep it all bottled up inside? You would have to, like, blur it out to somebody. And knowing her, I mean, she had, like, a freaking network of people she was talking to right and left. So you just don't know how far that reaches.
That's true. I think they may have to be doing some damage control on some of those folks. I mean, that's one thing
serious
they probably will know. Who were her friends? And see if some folks don't just go missing. I mean, you know, what else are you going to do? You some gal that makes $25 an hour works for
it all the time. You know, remember the Running Man with Schwarzenegger, when Richard
mm-hmm.
Dawson had to show the Running Man, and they were telling everybody that these guys that were on the show were living
the
lap
island,
of luxury
right?
in the island somewhere on vacation, but they're really dead. The skeletons hanging out in the back. That really happens. People, you know, we're being deceived every day, man. Every day, and we're being told what people want us to know.
Right.
So you really don't.
I mean,
know the full true situation of it all. To be honest, there could be a lot more than we even know.
That is true. Well, I bet it is a lot more than we know. So, look, thanks for those opinions. We really appreciate them. Our man from Hollywood, Devin Tate. What are people thinking over there? Because people are over there in Hollywood. People think about this stuff. This is part of the entertainment.
Yeah, and about to give kudos to Netflix for doing their documentary series on Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich.
That was really good,
getting a lot of people kind of involved and interested in this case that maybe otherwise wouldn't have known about it or wouldn't have, you know, gotten as much information about it. So, you know, right now during this time where a lot of people are cooped up in their homes, I think there's going to be a lot more scrutiny from the public as far as what's going to happen to Ms. Maxwell. So I'm hoping that might be a good, you know, a good sign. It might be harder for somebody to get away with, you know, if somebody did want to murder her or she wanted to disappear somehow. I think it's going to be a lot tougher this time around than it was for Epstein. But, you know, I don't speculate too much on what's going to happen. I'm just kind of sitting here waiting to see what's going to happen.
See, my question is, how much do they already know? Why are they letting this thing play out when Epstein and Ms. Maxwell could just vanish? And nobody could know where they were. They vanished. Who knows where they are? I mean,
immunity. They get a promise of immunity. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's weird. You know, like with Epstein, what happened to him, you know, they may detect her even more because she may know a little bit more than Epstein did about certain things, so they may offer her immunity. Who knows? Right?
Well,
what girl is, right? It's which political figure. You know, I mean, that's who they're trying to get leverage on. Is it the,
mm-hmm.
the rich and famous?
Okay. Well, Devin, I got one other question. You're out there in the land of legendary disappearances. Now, you are. The Black Dahlia. I mean, you know, she vanished and showed up dead. Your buddy that runs Dearly Departed Tours, he talks about a lot of that in his tours. Are you folks out in L.A. a little bit desensitized with some of these things happening? Terrible question.
I think somewhat, but in this particular case, I don't think there's any desensitization. I think people are very, very concerned and upset about this whole thing, and they want the truth to come out, and I think that the longer it takes, and the more things happen, like Jeffrey Epstein's, you know, supposed suicide, I think there's going to be a mass of angry people to deal with, you know, from the government and from the law enforcement. Whatever happens to this, it's going to be watched and scrutinized, and it's going to provoke a very strong reaction.
I think so. And I think there's probably so many, you know, law enforcement that are involved in this. And that's not a slam on law enforcement. I have personal family and friends that are law enforcement. There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful individuals in law enforcement. But like with any other thing that we have, there's also crooked ones, unfortunately. They give the rest of them a bad name. And I'm sure that they've got some kind of ties in law enforcement in there. That's how they've been able to elude getting prosecuted for so long.
Right. I mean, it runs deep. The whole situation runs deep. Like you said, I mean, it's not a simple situation, because the tentacles of this whole gravity of crimes that went down, it runs, I mean, the roots just run, sadly.
Yes, they really do. Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to revisit this case, maybe not for a full episode, but maybe for a half episode in about a month to 6 weeks, and see where it takes us. And see, so I'd like to go back around the table, and I would like to get everybody's opinion, just the final opinion of what's going to happen, to whom, and where will we be in 6 weeks. So I'm going to go back in reverse order. I'm going to do Devin, Papa Stroh, I'm going to do Robin, and then Tony. And then I'll close up shop. So, Devin, where are we going to be in 6 weeks? Prediction
time. I don't know if there's going to be anything known in 6 weeks. Unfortunately, as fast as a lot of us like this information to come out and become public, right now, with everything going on, I think everything, especially the court system, is slowed down to a snail's pace. So I think there's just going to continue to be speculation. And, you know, I don't know when the truth is going to come out, but I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people, for their politics, and I'll try to leave my politics out of this, but people are kind of waiting with bated breath, hoping that certain people are going to be taken down by this. And I just think that's going to be a lot longer road than people are hoping for.
Very interesting. We'll talk offline about that. I'd like to get your take on some of those names. I don't think it's appropriate to mention them on the show. We'll chat. All right, Papa Stroh, where are we going to be in 6 weeks?
I can't agree with Devin. This won't be over anytime soon. I mean, obviously. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about the situation. And all I got to say is I hope Ms. Maxwell finds Jesus soon, because she's going to need him.
Okay. I'm not laughing, but I think it's quite a telling thing to say. Robin McCray, where are we going to be in 6 weeks?
Well, you know me, I always like to go against the grain, but I kind of agree with the guys. I think that there's so many people watching this, and I think that they're going to kill her one way or the other, whether she talks or whether she doesn't. She's a walking dead woman. But I think that it's not going to happen overnight, because there's too many people watching. And these things always seem to happen when you least expect it. And I think there's going to be a lot of plotting and planning from all the powers that be all the way around. You know, the good guys are going to try to figure out a way to keep her alive. The bad guys are going to try a way to penetrate that little wall they've got around her to get to her. And I think it's all going to take time. But I think what will happen is it's going to look like she did it. You know, they'll set it up just like they did Epstein. But I don't think that it'll go down within the next 6 weeks. It might. If it does, it's going to be closer to the 6 weeks line than it is anything else. But I think it's going to take a little bit longer.
Tony Pelosi, what's up in 6 weeks?
Yes. I would have to agree with everyone else that I don't think they're going to kill her right off. You know, who knows? They may convince her that if she tells on certain people that, you know, it's going to be a really easy life, and they'll try to get her pardoned or or whatever. But I think ultimately they'll kill her. You know, I think the minute she hits gin pop, you know, in prison, they'll have somebody shank her. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks because there's too many people watching right now.
Okay. All right. I'm going to surprise everybody. I think we'll never know. I think she will vanish. The story of her will vanish. And we will not know what happened.
Yeah.
But I think it will completely vanish. We will never know whether she was tortured, killed, or is on a beautiful island with everything that she wants. I don't think we'll know. I think it is going to completely go away, and we'll never know. And if enough people start asking, they'll make some things up. They'll just say she's at an undisclosed location. I think we'll never know what happens to Ghislaine Maxwell. I think it's going to vanish. So that's my opinion. And you know what? 6 weeks from tonight, well, like we do every Monday night, we scary cast or we murder 1-2-30. But 6 weeks from tonight, let's reconvene this panel and let's see where she is. So I've got everything down. We know what everybody said. So let's do it. Papa Stroh, does that sound good to you?
Great.
Devin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Robin?
Oh, you know I'm in.
From the murder capital of the world, what do you think, Tony?
Absolutely.
All right, well, since I'm the one who came up with the idea, you know I want to do it. And I'm going to be watching this thing like a damn hawk. I can tell you that. I cannot wait to see what happens. Epstein kind of crept up upon us very quickly. I think this one's just going to linger. And kind of pass away. So we'll see. I think it'll be, there'll be no news. I think it'll just be whatever. I mean, everybody's going to kind of not know. Oh, was she? I don't know about her. I mean, I haven't heard about her in a while. So anyway, I wanted to thank everybody for, again, why is it you do the Jeffrey Epstein thing and then you always come up with one of the best episodes we've ever had? So this is probably one of the best Murder 1-2-3s that I can remember in our six-month history. I want to thank, in order of call-in, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, and congratulations to your family on Gorgeous George Day. I want to thank Robin McRae, our intuitive and one of the nicest people we know. I want to thank Devin Tate for being our man in Hollywood, and Tony Pelosi for still being alive in Harlan County, Kentucky. Tony, you never knew I was going to say that, did you?
No,
it's not an easy feat there. Things happen, okay?
That's right.
I'm sure they do. Well, folks, thanks a lot.
Well, I gotta tell you guys something. You guys are about the nicest group of guys to work with. I just love you guys.
Aw, thank you so much.
Love you too, Robin.
Yep.
Wouldn't want to work with anybody else.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see. We'll all see everyone. 90-second mark. So here's the schedule this week. Tonight, 9 p.m. on Tuesday night, in the room with Brady Hicks, co-host Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. On Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, Papa Stroh and WCW Retro. That's always a blast. Friday night, 5 p.m., Pop Culture Stars rebroadcast on VOC Nation. And 11 p.m. this coming Friday night, rebroadcast of ScaryCast/Murder123, followed by at midnight, Stroh the Maestro on Facebook, the Stroh Zone with just some incredible, it's so much fun. And of course, the Last Woman on Earth. Is that it, Papa Stroh? Last Woman on Earth?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see everybody very, very soon. I want everybody to turn your channel back to VOC Nation. Coming up here soon at 9 o'clock, and we'll listen to In the Room with Papa Stroh and Brady Hicks. Papa Stroh, do you know who the guest is tonight?
That's open forum night. Anything goes, so call in. Have fun.
Oh, so I can call in at 9 o'clock and complain? That's great.
Whatever you like. Yeah, whoever wants to call in. Yeah, bro.
It'll be a fun night.
And I'll
thank our great co-host. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week or this coming Friday night at 11 p.m. on Scarycast Presents Murder 123. Cheers, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.